Lesson 55 in the book of Matthew, as we look at the dispensational view of book of Matthew, we left off in verse 9, 17:9. And he says in verse 9, he says, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the risen from the dead. Now, once again, he is no longer going to the throne that we know of that he's telling about in ages to come. He's no longer going as their king, because he's been rejected. That's what we're looking at in 14, 15, and 16, now 17. He's going to the tree. And his rejection has been formalized, if you will. It's already been set. And chapter 17, verse 10 says, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew not him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake them of John the Baptist. Now these verses entail what we're sharing here and what we're looking at today and onward is the fact that it's the doctrine of the second coming of Elijah. That's what Jesus Christ is telling them. Elijah must come. And if you remember that, we already studied that in some detail in chapter 11. Correct? Nod your head, yes. Appease me up here a little bit. You know, like, yeah, we're with you, Ed. Remember what he said. If Israel had received the kingdom, John the Baptist would have been alive and came in the spirit and the power. So Jesus would have been the prophet. Mountain of Transfiguration, okay, and the fact is that Moses is the law, and Elijah represents the prophets. With me, so when he comes over here in Revelation 11, there's two witnesses over there. Look at that a little bit, and those are the two witnesses of the law and prophets. And to Moses foretold in Deuteronomy 15 through 19, Moses was telling them there's going to be a likened to him. And says the two have been fulfilled. That's what they, you know, that's how they were set up there. Now Israel never been able. Or have received some of the prophecies were fulfilled. Lord Jesus Christ called out where nothing was turned, and they said, this is right. He does it to the day. And everything was ready for them to accept Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. The problem was if. And if you will receive, Elijah has come already. And they knew him not. So the opportunity was there, was it not? But what did they do? They accepted it? No. They rejected it. In verse 12, you look at it, he says, likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. What did they do to Jesus? They cut him head off. So likewise, they're going to do the Son of Man. So his rejection has been set. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, hey, likewise, they're going to do it to me. And we know that. And when they, and John is capable of for him. But also is the fact that we know what he does, what the nation Israel and the Gentiles and, you know, even the Lord himself said, no man taking my life, I'll lay it down freely. The fact that he is going to die. And today we can rejoice in that, can't we? You know, there's some great news there, the fact that he died and was buried and rose again. But there's a situation here, and if Elijah, and you ever heard of Jeremiah? Now what is he known as? The weeping prophet, okay? And he would have been the other prophet that Jesus would have portrayed, like Jeremy, if you will, Jeremiah, as the weeping prophet. And we know in Matthew chapter 23, you see the fulfillment of his grief when Jeremiah is the weeping prophet and cries, and his heart is broken for Israel, isn't it? And God, you know what God tells him? Don't pray for these people. Tells Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. You know, it isn't going to help them. You think about that. You know how many times we pray for people? What's prayer do for people that are lost? Nothing. They got to hear the gospel, don't they? They got to hear the fact that, hey, you're dying and going to hell. And what is that? Faith cometh from what? Hearing and hearing the word of God. They have to hear the good news that Christ died for them. And then prayer is talking back to God. You know, we have prayer requests. We're not saying that. But praying for somebody in a situation, it may not help them at all. Then in Matthew 23, you see the fulfillment of his grace. You see Lord Jesus Christ standing on a hill, looking over Jerusalem, and he says in 23, "Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, they have gone down." So you hear what he's saying. Is he not weeping over them? The Lord had a heart for Israel. He looks over Jerusalem, the great city of God, and he cries. Back to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. So they come down on the mountain, don't they? They've been up on the mountain. What do you know about being up on the mountain? It's a kingdom. So he was up on the mountain. He showed them Mount Transfiguration, verse 14. And when they come down to the multitudes, they came to hear. There came to him a saying, "Lord, have mercy on me, for he is a what? Lunatic." Moonstruck. You know, they have a mental problem, if you will. You know, we look at a lot of people today, he's got a mental problem. But anyway, his son had a mental problem, and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into a fire, and falleth into the water. He's having what? He's having seizures and all this stuff, just, you know, mad. And verse 16, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Man brings his son to the disciples, to the little flock, and you know what? They can't help him. Who does Jesus address in verse 17? Who? Or his disciples. Look, "Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebukes the devil. He don't talk to the guy. He's talking to the little flock. And he says, "Faithless and perverse generation." Sound familiar? Back in some things he talked about. At the coming Lord Jesus Christ to Israel, when the Lord Jesus Christ come back over here, who's controlling Israel?
Satan.
They're under the power of Satan, aren't they? The devil. Israel is in need of, but the little flock helped them. Now, I don't know about you. Well, verse 19 says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out?" That's a good question, isn't it? Why couldn't he, guys? What was that? But what about Matthew? Didn't he give them power to cast out devils and have all that stuff? So that would, it gave them, in Matthew 10, he gave them power, and they went casting out that. Well, a minute, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountains, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You know, if you don't know this book, the book of Matthew, in a dispensational sense, do you see people in the Pentecostal movement, the charismatic movement, the fundamental movement, having trouble with this verse? They'll name it and claim it, but does it work?
Nope.
It don't work. They have no clue what's going on when they quote this verse. I mean, it's been quoted to me for a long time. You know, notice why they can't cast out devils. He says it's because of what? I said it a little while ago. Unbelief. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So, unbelief is? What's that?
Not hearing.
It's the opposite of faith. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. And faith is trusting in what God says. And this is what unbelief is. And if you're not trusting in what God says, so when he spoke the word, and when they had got what had God said, they weren't trusting in that. And you got to remember what he said. They must have believed that they could have. No, they could have done it before. And all of a sudden they couldn't do it. So they unbelief somewhere. So something else is important. You got to go back with me to verse 12. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Remember we just said that, right? He's going to suffer the same thing. Verse 9. And that said, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. In chapter 15, 21, he says, from that time forth, Jesus, he must go into Jerusalem and suffer things of the elder and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And what is their response? Praise God, hallelujah. The Messiah is going to the tree. What were they brokenhearted? They was like, no. No, you're not going there. God forbid. Hey, I am not going to the throne, I'm going to the tree. And I've got to suffer. And they didn't believe that. In Matthew 17, 22. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, just Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed. In that. So this is the first was ever story. And their disappointment when they were unable to cast out the devil from the boy, it woke them up. Hey, why can't I do this? Lord! And I believe they had done it before. And says, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This is what they have to do. That what is the issue about prayer and we looked at as long as I'm going to be buried and rose again, according to Scripture. And those guys, if those guys recognize that Jesus was going, trying to explain to them in their absence, you should understand by how many times children now, what do you do to them? You try to prepare them, don't you? My mom didn't show me how to fill out a checkbook. I had to do it on my own. There's some things that you take for granted. Well, you tell for me, I'm going down the road. You know, that type of thing. But you know what I'm saying? You still prepare for your children the way for his children. Now, some of us was brought to school and our parents said, you do it yourself. When we see our children, a little bit more than what I did. And usually if you're in the flesh, I try to tell you that it's too late. Do it on your own. But look, the response would have been response. Said, the kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. He told them about he would be taken away. The announcement of his coming death, but they didn't mourn. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it that he was going to die and rose again. For prayer and fasting on their part manifested their understanding of of his death, but what did it do? You're not going. You're not. Dies again. From that point, what we're talking. They again had their power to reduce those. They believe it's like, hey, can you heal me? I can't heal you. It's not he dies and buried and rose again that the power comes back on who the Lord is, and they had that power there. Do you have that power today?
No.
You can't do what the disciples can do, can you? Nope. If you did, I'll give you a round trip to Great Springs, Virginia.
Matthew 10, commissioned. That means there was a window when he commissioned them. Just during that window. Is that what we're saying?
That's what it appears to be until this time. You got to remember, Matthew 10, from this time forth, he began to show them to preach the kingdom of heaven. And that does not change until you get over here to Matthew 16:21, when he says, I must die. So there's a window, if you want to look at that, that had the opportunity to do everything to go. But when they did not, when he's telling them, see, this is, he's going. And you're not stopping them. And he's preparing that little flock what to do in his absence. He's giving them marching. He's giving them instructions. We tell our kids, we're going away for a couple weeks. Now, you let nobody in the house. in the middle. God's once again, it's after the resurrection, after he tells them he's going to the death, it's after the resurrection he comes back when they are in harmony with the mind of God and they can perform the miracles in Acts chapter 2. I'll be very, very you think about this because go to but he does heal the boy, don't he? And heals him. And hands of men, and they were exceeding sorry. And it all disturbed in what he's saying. And then finally they recognize. So I know I went through that very, very quickly. And the fact that I hope it made sense to you that when he comes off the mountains, he just retain the fact that he's up on the mountain from the glory of God. Is that? Let's go to verse 24. And when he comes back down the mountain, they can't heal nobody because he just got to telling them prayer and fasting. 24. And when not your, this is a strange event going on. That this is a ask Peter, does your say tax, you know, tribute. We found out that what tribute is something really, it's something to. And he said yes, and you know, and then he, you know, it's almost like he's double talking and stuff, like no, yes, no, and the contrast between Peter and this leader, does your master pay this tribute? Verse 23, and when he was coming to the temple, and the chief priest Matthew 23, verse 21, verse 23. And when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou do things? And who is tell me, I, and likewise, will tell you by what authorities I do these things. It's almost like question with a question. You ever do that? Verse 25. The baptism of John. answered Jesus and said, that sound like a... Yeah, it sure does sound like one, don't it? We cannot tell. They're a bunch of liars. They could tell. They're crooks. What they are. They knew where and see people kind of guy. He wasn't going to say, we cannot tell. He's honest. He's honest. And he said, and what he said was all out there. Yes, my master pays. And when we may look at the fact that he runs off his mouth and don't have a straight answer. But he had a good heart. He wasn't a crook. He's a fisherman, wasn't he? He tried to make honest living. And you've got to look at things about that. And the next verse, verse 25, says, he saith yes, and when he was come into the house, I'm saying, custom or tribute? Or of strangers. And Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then are the children free. We should... and cast a hook and take up the fish for the first cometh up. And thee. Christ stops them. What is thou, Simon? Does the kings go? From their family, or does it take from a stranger? That's the question. Okay? It says, and from those outside, does it take it from the family, his family, or the people outside of the family? Now, if you're part of my family here, which you are, I'd much rather take But, you know, if you're part of a king family, royal family, and you're the king's kids, he is not going to come around and beat up overhead. But, you know, to get money out of you, he's going to beat up somebody else. And Jesus said to them, they are the free. That king, it's standing in context without getting involved in a lot of things. The king of the, what does it say? The kings of the earth take custom of children or kings of the earth. You see what Peter has forgotten. The Messiah king. He forgot about this. So would Christ have to pay tribute? Who would pay tribute? Christ was the king or a part of that nation, the kings of those nations, would he have to pay tribute? So the gist of the big political issues here, the thing is the fact that Christ is been set on a course of rejection. He got through that. I must die. Part of it. And he withdraws him from the nation. Even the nation Israel then paid tribute to somebody. Back here in times past. No, all then the thing.
Pretty much explained that right at the top of the verse. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them.
You don't want to offend them.
Right, right.
But look.
Go thou to the sea and cast in, but he's talking about the children. That all gets straightened out, then of course not. The children won't be paying no taxes. But up until now, Rome's running the show.
Rome's running the Peter, I believe Peter answered the right question. That's just me. He knows he was rejected. And the fact that Israel, we don't see the picture here. Tax. Look at it. Mark's account. Luke's account. John's account. But the issue here is the key. And let me ask you this. When the Lord Jesus Christ sits on this throne over here, will Peter and the flock pay tribute?
No.
They're part of the children. They are free. But there's nations over here that has to come up and pay tribute. Why? Are they part of that little kingdom? Free kingdom?
They're running the kingdom themselves. Who'll be the stranger?
There's three. So he knew the kingdom over here in a kingdom. To come to Israel and they set up tabernacles. That's what they don't want. Rain. They don't get rain. But it's a they had to pay that. And he had to pay the tribute like a stranger. The believers the little flock wasn't, but they were still who? Nation, the Rome system that became Roman and all, the believers were not that. And the children of the king were children. 18. Introduces that the fact that the disciples said unto Jesus, is Christ said, who pays tribute? And we know the kings take it from the strangers, not of their own family. And in fact, Israel was not welcoming the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and teachings that Jesus paid tribute at this stranger in the world. He's not a part of that system. Now, I don't. Israel had to pay tribute to God. So whether it's a tribute. 10%. So in a situation, how did he get his tribute? How did he get his money?
got it out of the fishes by the miracle.
So he's got to pay tribute like a stranger to Peter. And Peter said, because they're rejected. That's all. If they was, they don't. And they are not recognized for that. In Matthew 17, and go into the sea, and he takes the money out of the fish. He sends them down to get the tribute money, and he sends them to the fish. He goes down to creation. And he knew what was going on in the depths of the sea. That's where the tribute money came from. So there was money dropped down there that fish brought up, if you want to think about that. Christ commands creation. The fish brings the exact amount, no more, no less. He brings the exact amount what he's supposed to pay.
Tribute is not a tax based on King James Bible, the 1828. It's a acknowledgement of submission of Christ. So this is perfect for this section. He is acknowledging that he has to submit to these guys for protection because he's not the king.
He's not part of that king. The issue was the kings of the earth. Do they take it from their own or from strangers?
Strangers.
And if they take it from the strangers, then is.
And are the children free?
If you're part of the kings of the world, you are free. You don't. He's not taking it from you. That tribute. What do they think is Simon? You think about what, you know, this is just my opinion. Think about what he just went through. Unbelief. You don't believe me that I'm going to the cross and die, Simon. Are you thinking in your mind? What are you thinking? Are you thinking that you, because I know we talk about Simon as what? His Hebrew name. But he named him Peter as a rock. So are they issue with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he called him as a Gentile.
He paid the money for all of them, right? He paid the money for
all of them. He said, pay for me and thee.
He called him by his old name and sent him back to do his old job. To make up for maybe a mistake that he made.
Well, you could look at it that way. But the issue, what the issue here is the fact that in the kingdom program, is Lord Jesus Christ a part of that kings of the earth? Is he a stranger? Or is he a part of that children of the free? In a spiritual mind, you know if you're part of Lord Jesus Christ, you're free spiritually. But in a world system, right now, you're not free.
You just have to pay taxes.
You know what I mean? And you know, and I'm not going to get political. But the thing is, here is a picture of what there are. He's saying, Peter, you're not part of that system. Well, Simon, you're not part of the system. But Peter answered the right question. Whether you call him Simon or Peter or you know, Cephas, he answered the right question, notwithstanding. Let's not offend him. Because I tell you what, they weren't going to pass through Capernaum if they didn't pay.
Right, because Peter made an agreement and they had to hold up to the agreement or they were coming for somebody's head before it was time. And the Lord, it wasn't time, you know, for him to be crucified because they were looking for a reason to, you know, jump on this guy anytime they could. So, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, let's take care of this situation and get these people off our back.
Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for things to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.